We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
How many of you, this is your first day at the Spring Revival? Like, if you haven't been to any of the revival meetings this week, glad to have all of you. Now, those of you guys that were here, hasn't it been incredible? Man, God has just done something, I know, in many of your lives, but in my life as well. I mean, God has just, every time we do these revival meetings, man, it just takes you to the next level. It just stirs something up inside of you to believe God for more. And, you know, we're, as a church, we're believing God for a major revival in this region. You know, revival, it starts in an individual's heart. It takes someone crying out to God and saying, God, use me. Lord, use me. But then, as individuals begin to cry out in a church, in a place like this, because it's not just about one person, it's about the church as a whole coming together and believing God for a move, praying and seeking God that He would just come and totally impact this region that we're in. As people's hearts get lit on fire for Jesus and to serve God with their whole heart, man, that's when things start to explode. You know, so God's moving in my heart to believe God for more, to believe and expect God for a big move, to do something massive here. But I know that He's also moving in the hearts and of each of you that have been coming to these meetings. God's just been working in your hearts. And I see night after night as the glory of God comes in the service and the presence, His presence shows up, and it just takes you from glory to glory. And it's just going to bubble up so full on the inside of you that you just feel like you're going to burst unless you start telling somebody about it. And that's what happens, is you just get so full with the goodness of God, so full with His presence, of His joy, and all that He has to offer you today. It just bubbles up on the inside of you and it begins to overflow onto the people that are around you. And just watch and see what God's going to do in this region as people come and get filled with the presence of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out and to preach His gospel. Amen? So let me tell you, I'm really stirred up, and you know, God's going to do something huge here. So this month, every Sunday, we've been preaching about positive confession. And I don't want to disappoint you, so turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 is the basis that we've been using for this series that we're teaching. Let's just read the first half of the verse. I'm going to read it and then we'll quote it together. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I want you to quote that with me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. All right, that completes my sermon on positive confession this morning, because in a minute, Brother Troy, Evangelist Troy, that's been preaching here every night, he's going to get up and preach an amazing sermon that I just believe is going to bless you and challenge you and take you to the next level, God. But I promised at the beginning of the month that I would take every Sunday this month to preach on the power of positive confession, and that scripture right there is what I base it on. If you want to learn more about it, you can go ahead and go to our website, riverrochester.com, and listen to all our previous sermons. And you know what? This month is actually like a bonus Sunday month. I didn't realize that. You know, Brother Troy came up and we were talking about, you know, the meetings that we were going to have, and I was like, man, I felt that he should share this message that he's going to be sharing with you this morning today during the service, but I was like, but it's positive confession this month, and that's like one of my favorite things to preach on, because it'll radically change your life if you actually put God's word to the test in that area in your life and you make that a principle in your life. So I was like, I don't want to like miss out on a Sunday, an opportunity to share that. But then I looked at the calendar and I'm like, wait, we got a bonus Sunday. So next month, what I told you last Sunday that I'm going to be sharing today on positive confession, and I'm going to be sharing that message with you next week. So make sure that you're back here next Sunday to hear that. But today I'm going to preach here just for a minute, and then I'm going to turn the microphone over and let Evangelist Troy loose to do what he does, which has been fairly entertaining, I have to admit. I mean, like, Man. Like, the preaching's awesome, but, like, I just like watching him. Like, he's just, like, all over the place. It's been such great fun and such a pleasure having him here and ministering and just seeing God use him. I mean, the way that he's just been being used by the Lord here and the words that he's given people and the messages that he's been preaching, it's just been so wonderful. And, you know, I've told him, like, one of the reasons that I wanted him to come up here and preach to you guys is he's totally different than me. You know, I don't want to bring in just people that sound like me and talk like me and preach like me. I want the body of Christ to experience all the different gifts that are available to you. And so that's why I just love watching Troy as he goes and he's preaching and he's, you know, like he'll be in the middle of his message and then all of a sudden he's like, no, we're going to put a worship song on and just worships and he's praying on the front and then he gets up and he's preaching and like, man, it's just awesome just to see the way that he flows, which is a totally different way than I normally preach. But, you know, the body of Christ as a whole, we need every member of the body being used, and everyone should have something different to offer. Amen? You know, God creates us all as unique individuals, and so it's just wonderful to have that. So, last night, if you were here, I preached a message that I probably have never really preached on prosperity like that before, because something just really stirred up in my heart after our Friday night meeting. I really just felt like that I had like a confrontation with like a spirit of poverty. And I know that, you know, maybe even some of you that weren't there Friday night were there Saturday night, and I preached that message and I preached it in order to confront that spirit that was just coming in, trying to come in here and trying to talk me out of the poverty or out of prosperity and into poverty. And I said that if you don't what you don't confront, you won't conquer. And so I was confronting that, you know, we're a full prosperity church. We believe in all of God's blessing. And one of the things that I was hammering last night is that if God is a full God when it comes to healing, to blessing, to peace, to joy, and he's over the top in those areas, then why would he limit the amount of prosperity that he wants you to have? Amen? We serve a good God. We serve a God that when he sent his son Jesus, he didn't come and preach sad news. He preached good news, right? He came and preached the good news of the kingdom. And so good news is that you should be blessed, that you should prosper, and that you should go forth and advance the kingdom of God. And it's really hard to really be successful at anything if all you're trying to do is believe God to pay for your groceries and pay for your rent. So you should be so blessed so that you're not just struggling financially, but so that you can actually focus on being a blessing to God's kingdom, being a blessing to the church, and that you don't have to just be thinking about how am I going to make money to pay for my child's food this week. So God wants you blessed. And maybe that's the first time that you've heard that God actually wants you blessed. But I promise if you stick around long enough, that'll get on you and you'll become blessed. Amen? Amen? So turn with me this morning in your Bible to Psalm chapter 34. I'm going to give you a second to turn there before I read it because I really want you to actually read this. You really need to read this with me because this chapter, you know, I'm going to read the first 10 verses, but if I could, I would actually just read this entire chapter. And actually, if I had time, I would read the next two or three chapters with it because, man, they're just so good. But I'm just going to do my best to stay in the first 10 verses this morning. So let's start in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. So let me ask you this question. When do we begin to praise and magnify and exalt the Lord? All times, right? Continually. Isn't that what he said? His praise shall continually be in my mouth, right? Now, when do most of us praise the Lord? Like, I mean, when we just can't contain ourselves anymore and we're just so excited about, you know, what God is doing in our lives. I would say that most of the time it's right after God has done something really good for us, right? I mean, if I just walked up to one of you and handed you a check for $10,000 and said, the Lord put this on my heart to give to you, wouldn't you just like freak out and be like, God, you're so good. Praise you, Jesus. I mean, what if it was $100,000 or $1 million? You would just go wild, right? And you rightfully should. I mean, what if I bought you a new car this morning? Wouldn't you just be so excited? What if I said, hey, I want to pay your mortgage off. Oh, you're in debt. I'm going to take care of all of that. Wouldn't you just want to be like freak out on the inside and just praise God for all of his goodness and just how amazing he is? Now let me ask you, when does the Bible say that we should praise and bless the Lord? All times, continually. So that means, what about when you're believing God for something and it hasn't actually manifested yet in the natural? Do you praise him then? Or do you just praise him once you actually have it? You're believing God to have a new car. You're believing God to pay off your house. You're believing God for your husband to get saved. You're believing God for a godly spouse. You're believing God for a miracle of healing in your body. So are you going to praise him once it manifests? Once you actually get it in the natural? Or are you going to, by faith, begin to just praise him even now before you ever even see it? Because if you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, faith is what brings the unrealities of hope into existence. And faith, God, praise is a message of faith. When you're praising the Lord, it's praising him for all of his goodness and all the things that he's done for you. And even before you're actually experiencing the things that you're believing for, we should be praising him. Because his word says to do so. I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, what about, you know, I don't like to talk about the storms of life, but sometimes you have a situation that might come up that might just kind of rock your world. And of course, if you come here, you'll find out that you're an overcomer, that God's given you power and authority over the power of the devil, and that no matter what comes to try and stop you, you know that you're going to overcome because of what Jesus has done for you. But what about when you're in the midst of that circumstance and you're just like, oh man, God, I just need you to come through for me. I don't know how I'm going to handle this. Maybe a letter comes in the mail. Maybe it's a doctor's report. Who knows what it is. Maybe the bank tries to pull the note on your house and says, hey, if you don't pay up right now, we're going to take your house. Believe it or not, that happens. But what if you're in the midst of that storm? What are you going to do? Are you going to just get sad and mopey and be like, oh my gosh, this is just the worst? What happens when your family comes under attack and things just don't seem to be going right? You're standing on the word, claiming the promises of God. His promises are yes and amen. God, you're so faithful. And then something really awful comes your way. Well, what are you going to do? Because I guarantee that your reaction to your response to what's happening is going to determine the end result. Of what either, if either that's that blessing or that curse is going to stay in your life. But I guarantee that when that situation comes, if you would rather not look at the circumstance that you're currently experiencing and just begin to use your mouth and praise the Lord and say, God, I give you all the glory. You're so worthy. Your word says that you're going to come through for me. Your word says that you're good, that your mercies are new every morning. For you are good and your mercy endures forever. That means God is good forever. So even if you're maybe thinking that today isn't the best day of my life, God is still good today. And he's good tomorrow. He's good yesterday. He's always good. Amen? So there's three keys that from these 10 verses that you're really going to see that if you'll actually apply, I mean, there's many things that come that you have to actually do in your life in order to activate financial prosperity. But the first one of these that it mentions here is blessing the Lord continually. His praise shall continually be in your mouth. Now, if something is in your mouth besides food, what does that mean? It means that you're speaking it. You know, some people feel like that they can just praise the Lord in their mind. You use your mouth to praise God. You use your mouth to pray. You know, there's silent prayers are not scriptural. Find someone in the Bible where they silently prayed for something and then God came through for them. The only way that a prayer could be recorded in the Bible is if it was actually spoken out so that someone could hear it. Right? So scripturally, prayer is out loud. Praise is out loud. You use your mouth to praise. So sometimes, even if you're in the middle of your day and things just might not be going the way that you desired, or maybe they're going better than you desired, it doesn't matter, either good or bad, you praise the Lord continually. Hallelujah. So that's key number one. Number four, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. Verse number four, I sought the Lord. You're going to see here that seeking the Lord is one of the keys. You know, many of you have been coming out to revival Friday night, Saturday night, coming and getting touched by the presence of the Lord. Maybe you had things going on during the day. Maybe you worked all day Friday. Maybe you had to get up Saturday morning to do something. You know, we all have different things going on in our life, but some of you came night after night because you're hungry for the things of God. You are seeking the Lord. And that is a huge key. I have family members here this morning that flew all the way from Germany so that they could be in these meetings. You know, some of you are maybe have experienced storms in your life and you just feel like everything seems to have gone in my life and I feel that God has left me and abandoned me and rejected me. What do you do when that happens? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord with all of your heart. He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from my fears. You know, when you seek the Lord, he's going to deliver you from whatever it is that you fear, from whatever it is that your problem is. You're not going to stay in that problem when you seek the Lord. When you seek the Lord and you genuinely come to him and say, God, I need you. Come through for me. If you're seeking the Lord with a pure heart, with pure motives, he's going to come through for you. He's not going to let you stay where you're at. Hallelujah. That's good news, right? Man, I thought somebody would get excited about that. They looked to him and were radiant. Man, I want to be radiant. Yes. You know, Brother Troy last night was preaching about Moses when he when God put him in the cleft of the rock and the Lord revealed his hind parts to him. And it says that when he came down from the mountain, his face, people, that he had to put a veil over his face because the glory of God was so strong on him that people couldn't even look at his face. He was radiant. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, they couldn't even look at him because the glory was so strong upon him. There's a place where you can come to God, where you know him, where you're close with him, and that your face will be radiant. So that, you know, it's people like Smith Wigglesworth that when he would walk on a train and people didn't even know who he was, that they would just say, you convict me of sin, and they would repent without him ever even talking to them. People like Peter that when he walked down the street that people were hoping to put them their sick friends in front of his shadow so that as his shadow came over them that they would be healed. You know, there's a place in God, in the glory of God that you can come that will just change this world, that'll change your world. And man, that's where I desire to be, is in God's glory and to be radiant. And it comes from seeking him. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The Lord saved him out of how many troubles? All his troubles. The Lord saved him out of all his troubles. So let me ask you, if you believe in the poverty doctrine, then God would be working against you if he delivered you out of poverty, right? If you believe that sickness is from the Lord in order to teach you a lesson, and then Jesus heals you, he would be working against himself. He would be going against his word. But he says here that he delivers you out of all your troubles. That's all of them. I don't know what your trouble is. You might have a different trouble than someone else, but it doesn't really matter. Whatever you think is your trouble, whatever has been troubling you, whatever has been bothering you, trying to stop you, Jesus says right here, God in his word, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. So if you have a fear for God, and fear isn't talking about being scared of God, it's talking about a reverence towards God, always keeping him first in your life. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. And delivers them. You don't have to deliver yourself. You just have to seek God. And the angel of the Lord is going to be around you because you fear him. And then the Lord is the one who delivers you from all your fears, from all your troubles, from everything. You know, I'm not going to do it right now for the sake of time, but you can go back through the Old Testament and even the New Testament and find out situation after situation where they were, either the children of Israel or the apostles or Paul, whoever it was, that they were facing trouble and they sought the Lord and the Lord delivered them out of all their troubles. When Paul and Silas were in prison at midnight, beaten by the prison guards, And they were locked in the innermost part of the jail, in the worst part of the prison. They began to sing hymns and praise the Lord. The praises of God shall be continually in your mouth. And when you seek God with all your heart, then He is going to deliver you. And as they began to praise God, and as they began to seek God, the Lord caused an earthquake that shook that prison cell and opened all the prison doors and took off all the shackles and set every single prisoner free. And then when the jailer came to the prison and saw what happened, he was about to kill himself because he knew that he would be killed for having all those prisoners escape. And Paul says, wait, we're all still here. And what does the jailer do? He says, what must I do to be saved? Man, you call out to the Lord, and He's not just going to deliver you. He's going to deliver all those around you. He's going to set you free, your neighbor free, your family free. And then He's going to cause people to get saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, that's like a triple whammy right there. Hallelujah. All right, verse 8. I mean, if you thought up to this point that this is good news, wait till you hear this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Blessed. Say blessed.
Blessed.
All right, I want you to say it loud. Blessed.
Blessed.
Amen. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. What does blessed look like? Does it look like you can barely get yourself out of bed in the morning? Oh, there, this brother right here, he's confident in his blessing in the Lord. Man, his face looks radiant right now. He's blessed. Blessed looks good. Blessed doesn't look like you're living on Barely Get Along Street, right down at the end of Grumble Alley. Blessed looks good. Blessed means there's a smile on your face, that there's joy in your life, that you're walking in health, that every day that you wake up, you rejoice because it's the day that the Lord has made. Man, that's what blessed looks like. And how do you get that? You trust in Him. You've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and you decided, Lord, I've tasted, I've seen, You're good, and I want all of You. I want everything that You have. Anything that's not of You, I don't want in my life. If there's an area in your life that you know that doesn't belong to God, something that you've been doing that you know you shouldn't be supposed to be doing, lay it down. Because I promise you, if you'll give yourself completely to God, anything that has remotely been a hindrance in your life, things that have been tempting you to go away from the things of God, that's what's stopping the blessing from coming upon your life. So lay the things down, the hindrances, lay down every weight that would try and stop us so that we can run the heavenly race. And man, when you do that, you might think that this is so hard. I got to give up drugs. I got to give up alcohol. I got to end some relationships that I'm in. And you start doing that, and you might think that that's tough. But then when you see God start working in your life, you see God start working in your family's life, you see the blessing come upon you, you see prosperity and health and provision, and God's goodness coming on you, man, you're going to be like, what took me so long? What was I waiting for? This is just silly. But when you seek God with all your heart, His word says that He will do these things for you. I'm preaching it, but it's His word. I'm just telling you the good news of what His word says. Hallelujah. Oh, fear the Lord. And as I said before, that fear isn't talking about being scared of God. Some people are scared. They think God is a mean God, that God kills people because His garden is lacking flowers. You know, oh, He plucked another rose for His garden. You ever heard someone say something like that? Absolute garbage. God isn't in the business of killing people because His garden needs work.
Right.
It's just silly. Think about it.
Right.
I don't want to go off on that. I want to go off on that, but I'm not going to, because we got to get Brother Troy up here.
Yeah.
Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There, oh my gosh, this is so good. There is no want to those who fear Him. I need you guys to say that with me. There is no want to those who fear Him. There's what? There's no want to those who fear Him. What is want? When you want something, right? Man, when you fear God, there, when you fear the Lord, there is no want. That's not saying that you won't desire things, but it's saying that God is going to be giving those things faster to you than you can come up with desires to get them. As soon as you want something, the Lord is just going to bring it to pass in your life. He's just going to say, you're my child. I love you so much. And if your natural father loving you, your natural father on earth wants to give you good gifts, how much more does your heavenly father want to provide for you? If your earthly father wants to take care of you, how much more does your heavenly father want to do that? He says there that there is no want. So that means that we shouldn't be struggling, that we shouldn't be lacking the things that we desire if we're doing these things. If we're praising God continually, His word is continually, His praise is continually coming out of our mouth. Sounds like positive confession to me. But if we're continually doing that, we're continually seeking the Lord, continually desiring Him and continually fearing Him, reverencing Him, asking, reverencing Him is not God what... It is not telling God what you want, but it's asking God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do today? How do you want me to live? What do you want me to give? Who do you want me to bless? Who do you want me to share the gospel with? As we reverence God and put Him first in our life, man, you won't have any wants. Some of you have a lot of wants because some of you have just been seeking me, 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 and it's been all about me. But as you put the kingdom of God first in your life and His kingdom, you won't have any wants. So not only are you going to become a greater blessing to other people, but God's going to do His job to bless you even more because He's an over-the-top kind of God. Last verse, verse number 10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek God shall not lack any good thing. But those that seek God shall not lack any good thing. Man, what's a good thing? I'll tell you what, it's not. It's not a bad thing, right? Right? I mean, that sounds silly, but some of us have been accepting bad things thinking that they were from God. Some of us were accepting sickness thinking it's the Lord teaching us. Some of us thought that driving like a broken down car is the Lord teaching you humility. Some of us have been accepting bad things thinking that this is the Lord working in my life. God just wants me to struggle so that I learn to depend on Him. What does this just say? That you won't lack any good thing. So what are you tolerating bad things for in your life if God is trying to get you good things? That means you're working against God by accepting the bad things that the devil has tried to bring you all your life. The devil wants you to be depressed and sad and mopey and sick and poor and grumbling and complaining and feeling unfulfilled. And God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have every single good thing. You don't have to get upset about that. That should be the best news you've heard all day, is that God wants me to have every good thing, right? Some of you look like you've been sucking on a pickle all morning or a lemon or whatever, but man, you just gotta learn that God wants you to be blessed, that He wants you to have every single good thing, that anything that you've accepted up to this point in your life that isn't good isn't from God. So you shouldn't be mad at God if you haven't experienced His goodness. It wasn't His plan for you to be suffering. If you haven't experienced God's goodness and you think it's His fault, you're wrong. God's desire and His plan never changes. Over and over in the Bible it says that God doesn't change. Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor changing. God doesn't change. He doesn't waver. He's always good. God is always good. Always good. And the devil's always bad. So if you've accepted bad, don't blame God for it. You know, when the UPS guy comes to our house and he has a package for us, regardless of what's in that package, in order for me to get it, I have to sign for it. And some of us have signed for some packages that weren't from God, that were actually sent to us from the devil, but we accepted them and opened them up and received them into our life. You can just return to sender when those bad things come and only accept the good things that God has for you. Now, I'm going to share with you just a quick testimony. Now, before I share this testimony, I want to say that prosperity isn't receiving a blessing. Prosperity is when you are so blessed that you get to bless others, right? I mean, I'm not saying that God doesn't want to prosper you. Obviously, like I just read, He wants to give you good things, and He wants to provide for you and take care of you, and you should be blessed. Amen? Man, I got like 3 amens on that. That's kind of sad. God wants you to be blessed and take care of you and provide good things for you. Amen? Amen. All right. Hallelujah. So you are blessed to be a blessing. And so prosperity, the real prosperity, is when you're not just looking to receive, but when you're looking, God, who can I bless? I have so much abundance that I'm just looking to be a blessing to other people, right? And so I'm just going to, I'm wearing this watch here. I just got this new watch and I love it. I absolutely think it's the greatest thing. It's an Apple watch, all right? And it makes me feel a little more hipster, like I'm a little more cool. Believe it or not, I'm not hipster or cool. If I had it my way, I'd be up here in camo this morning, all right? But my wife tells me that that's not all right. All right, I got one brother that agrees with me. Amen. All right. But so come Christmas time, I really actually was desiring to have an Apple Watch. I just thought I was looking into the different watches that I could get and I wanted something that would track my fitness and stuff so I could keep all those goals and keep me informed on how I'm sleeping and different things, Anyway, I really actually wanted that. But when it came down to it, I had no nice clothes to preach in. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just get what I actually need. And so we got a couple new suits for me for Christmas and some shirts and some ties. How many of you are thankful for that? I am. If you're not, I am. It's okay. You don't have to look at me dressed like a bum this morning. Amen. But so I actually had these desires in my heart, that I wanted the Apple Watch, but I decided, you know what, I'm going to get what I actually need. And so we decided not to get the Apple Watch. And obviously I'm wearing an Apple Watch this morning because the Bible says that God delights in the prosperity of his servants and he doesn't want you to lack any good thing. So to you, maybe you're at the level of where an Apple Watch isn't even a good thing. You're like, unless it's like the gold-plated one that costs like $50,000, some of you guys are at that level. I'm not there yet, so I'm just happy that I got the Apple Watch that I got. But let me tell you, I was so excited when I got that because, man, I had been desiring this thing for some time, and yet I decided that, I need to focus on the things that I actually need. But God delights in giving you the things that you need. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Amen? And God, he'll do the same thing for you. God isn't a respecter of persons. If he did something good for me, he can do something good for you. But I promise you, it's as you seek the Lord. I'm not surprised that I got it yesterday and not any other day. Because that I didn't get it 2 months ago or whenever. Because the last couple weeks, I have just been pressing in more and more and more like never before, seeking God for all of his plan, seeking God to move in my life, seeking God to move in our church. And the Bible says that as you seek God, as you fear him, and as you have his praise continually in your mouth, then every good thing is going to come your way. The blessing of the Lord is going to come your way. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.